Lord, I thank you for this ministry time of worship. Thank you for our praise team leading us to your throne, where you are so kind and loving and have your arms outstretched to us in your great grace. Lord, we are so needy of it, and we acknowledge our need, and you are there to grant it. With the outstretched arms like the Father to the prodigal son, we come home, we come to you, and there you are, receiving us back to yourself, loving us, encouraging us, teaching us who we are, that we are what your word says we are, not what the enemy says we are, or our neighbors, or even ourselves, but what your word says. That's who I am, and that's the truth. Thank you, Lord. Lord, as we approach July 4th holiday this next weekend, we think about our country, and our hearts are heavy this morning as we do pray for our country. So we do want to lift our president and vice president, Congress members, our Supreme Court, our governors of the various 50 states, and all the mayors, people in leadership positions over our land, Lord, that you would give great wisdom at this time and strength and grace. We pray for peace, not division, unity, not chaos, a revival to spread across this land that is so desperately needed. We need to see you. We need you, Lord. We pray against a spirit of fear and a spirit of hatred, which has risen up in this land. Smash both those evil spirits down, Lord. We declare Jesus as Messiah and Lord. We pray for people around this world, especially fellow believers in persecuted lands. And we pray that you are close to them today and strengthening them. They have a different sort of problems. We honor the martyrs and we hope to stand for Christ like them in that same spirit. You are the healer, Lord. Heal emotional wounds and spiritual wounds, and heal our bodies for your glory, Lord. We pray that you would continue to be with us and anoint this gathering with your grace and power. In Jesus' name, amen. As I share with you this morning, there is a prayer and one phrase of a prayer that I pray for myself every day. And that one phrase, I'm not going to share all of those phrases, but one is that I would hear your voice. Wow, I think that's so important. As a pastor, that's very important to me for your sake, that I hear if God has something special he wants me to say to you. I think of the times we're living in. It could be the end of time. It could be the last days. I think that's very possible. That hard times could be ahead. We want it to get back to normal and be good again. It may. We hope. We pray. We believe for that. But if that's not God's will, then we need to hear his voice, because he might say in a critical moment, go here, talk to this person, do that. And so we need to be able to hear his voice. And I'm encouraged that Jesus said that my sheep hear my voice. So I believe that we will when the time has come. And as we open God's word and he speaks to us through his word, that we would hear his voice. So there are three main texts that I want to share with you this morning and talk about. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. The synoptic gospels means same or similar. John's gospel is a little different. Matthew 13, 11 to 17. And it's up above me there so you can follow along. He replied, "The knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of heaven has been given to you, but not to them. Whoever has will be given more, and he will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears and have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts and turn, and I would heal them. But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear. For I tell you the truth, many prophets and righteous men longed to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it. Here's Mark's account. If anyone has ears to hear, let him hear. Consider carefully what you hear. He continued, with a measure you use, it will be measured to you and even more. Whoever has will be given more. Whoever does not have even what he has will be taken from him. And now Luke. His disciples asked him what this parable meant. He said, the knowledge of the secrets of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to others I speak in parables, so that though seeing, they may not see, though hearing, they may not understand. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is the word of God. Those along the path are the ones who hear. And then the devil comes and takes away the word from their hearts so that they may not believe and be saved. Those on the rock are the ones who receive the word with joy, but when they hear it, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of testing, they fall away. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. No one lights a lamp and hides it in a jar or puts it under a bed. Instead, he puts it on a stand so that those who come in can see the light. For there is nothing hidden that will not be disclosed, and nothing concealed that will not be known or brought out into the open. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. Thoreau was right when he said it takes two people to speak the truth, one to speak and one to hear. Jesus spoke to a large audience in John chapter 6, and here's what it says at the end of that message. From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. Paul spoke to a crowd at Athens, and it says that only a few believed and that most sneered at his message. So this is why so much preaching fails. It often isn't the fault of the preacher, but the audience. It's not the fault of the message, but those who hear. Now, these texts are quite interesting because each author provides a slightly different nuance, even though they're reporting on the same parable that Jesus spoke. They all say the same thing. For instance, Matthew 13:12, whoever has will be given more. He will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Each of them say that phrase. But then each gospel writer has his own angle on Jesus's parable of the soils. Matthew's angle is that you hear it all. Mark's is take heed what you hear. And Luke's angle is take heed how you hear. So I want to differentiate those this morning. Let's talk about Matthew's that. That you or I hear it all is miraculous. 1 Corinthians 2:14. The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned. You may have had that experience of witnessing to a friend or family member, and you're sharing Christ with them till you're blue in the face and they just don't get it. Unless the Holy Spirit opens their mind and their hearts to the truth, they will not hear. So, the Holy Spirit is really the preacher, and I find that quite liberating. Have you ever felt the pressure that almost like you're trying to sell them something, and they've got to believe it at this moment? A professor at a Christian university was on a mission trip, and he was invited to preach a message to those that they were ministering to, and he had never preached or spoken with a translator before, so he was really excited about it. But his message was on one of his lectures that he would give to the PhD students. So, man, this was flying over everybody's head. And the translator was looking out at all the blank expressions out there. So he began preaching who Jesus is and what he has done for me. Well, they finished preaching at the exact same time. And needless to say, that professor was very pleased at the reaction of his hearers. So Matthew quotes Isaiah, and Isaiah says how rare it is that anyone hears at all. Jesus' parable is open and clear to the one who has an open heart, but it's closed to the one with a hostile heart. So as a preacher, I'm very concerned that people don't hear the word well. For unbelievers, their minds are darkened by sin. So there's that huge obstacle. But even for the believer, there are things that we can put in the way, hindrances that stop us from hearing the word well. Let me share a couple of those with you. One is the cultural shift of the visual. Ours is a visual society. When it comes to writing, emailing and texting is basically all we do. Those are very short messages, and the grammar doesn't matter. No one reads anything long. I was reading a rather long blog several years ago, and in the comments section, someone wrote TLDR. And I thought, I don't know what that means. So I Googled it, and it was too long, didn't read. People don't listen to lectures anymore. They watch YouTube videos. They watch movies on Netflix. They watch television. Today's youth see 100% more images than folks my age did growing up. The TV is on an average of 2 to 4 hours in the typical American home, 7 hours on the weekends. By the time a child reaches age 18, she spent 4 years in front of the television or computer screen, absorbing all those images and becoming more and more incapable of reading something deep and profound or having deep, meaningful conversations. And churches are following in this same mold of the visual, relying on the visual, which is not evil, by the way. But we're losing our capacity to hear. Jesus said, preach the gospel, not show movies. Christ is the word, not a picture. We try and entertain people now. I'm reminded of a teacher who took her class to the Grand Canyon because she wanted them to have an experience in God's creation. And she said she was really surprised at how quickly they left the splendor and grandeur of the canyon to rush back to the bus to get on their phones to text everybody about what it was like. Temptation comes mostly through the eye gate. The Bible speaks about the lust of the eyes. We know that's how Satan tempted Eve in Genesis 3:6. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. She saw the fruit. It was pleasing to the eye. The overemphasis on the visual in our culture is causing us to be incapable of hearing like generations in the past. Here's another reason why. Words don't have the same meaning that they used to have. Definitions have changed. There's no absolute truth anymore that you can stand on and put your stake in the ground. Contradictory things are true in our culture. You have your truth, I have mine. Now we call a baby a fetus, or worse, a lump of cells. That we have a choice to have to terminate our pregnancy, when really the choice is what you do before the pregnancy. Abortion is a woman's health issue. No, it's murder. Emil Brunner said, if there is no sacrosanct, eternal, divine, absolute justice, then there is no possibility of calling anything, be it a law, civil system, or action of the state, unjust. No society can survive without agreeing upon what is the truth. Words do matter. An absolute moral code must be agreed upon. In the West, in European, and then in American society, that was the Ten Commandments. It was the Judeo-Christian ethic. It was the Bible, the Word of God. Those societies were founded on that. They agreed on that. They said, this is the truth. This is our standard of reality. When society begins to let go of that, then anything becomes the truth. We'll eat each other becomes our truth. We'll worship idols. And is that the kind of society you want to live in? We're seeing a rotting away and a cracking of the foundation, that moral code our country was founded on. So the visual and meaningless words, because there's no more absolute truth, are hindering us from the ability to hear. Let's talk about Mark's what. Mark said in Mark 4:23-25, take heed what you hear. We all hear something. The question is, what do we hear? John Bunyan, in his book, Holy War, said that Eargate was the busiest place in the city of man's soul. And writer Henry Nouwen calls this our wordy world. We're inundated with words. Radio, TV, text messages, email, magazines, books, movies, billboards. Words crawl across the bottom of TV screens in public places. Driving down Mechanicsville Turnpike is like driving through a dictionary. Commercials say, use me, take me, buy me, drink me, smell me. How can we respect words in such a culture? We can't hear because our souls are filled with meaningless words. So therefore, we have little capacity left for eternal words. Preaching then becomes just more words. But it's not just words. Eternal destinies hang in the balance. God created this universe by the spoken word. Jesus is the living word. In Proverbs 18, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Salvation comes by hearing the word. Paul in Romans 10. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they're sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. But not all the Israelites accepted the good news, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. How wasteful we are with this gift of hearing. We listen to dirty jokes. We listen to a titillating piece of gossip and pass it on. We listen to the talking heads on TV who mock God and Christian values. You watch the news long enough and it makes you fearful and stupid. Take heed what you hear or you won't be able to hear anymore. We pity the heathen because they've not heard the gospel, but I think we're the ones that are more to be pitied. We've heard so much and reject it. A missionary was preaching on a foreign country. And after he finished, he was walking away to the next village. And a couple of villagers ran after him and said, can we really be saved by hearing only once? And the answer to that is yes, because of what was said. But how about us who hear it all the time and just take it for granted? Take heed what you hear, because you're hearing for eternity. Be selective in what you hear. Jesus said in John 12:48, "There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. For that very word which I spoke will condemn him at the last day." Now let's consider Luke's how. Take heed how you hear. The parable of the soils is behind this comment. Jesus said, some hear carelessly. Their hearing doesn't result in obedience, and the enemy quickly swoops in and steals that word from their heart. Boy, isn't that scary? That you hear a word and the enemy then has access to the heart to take that word. Some hear heedlessly. Such hearing produces fast results, but their soul's soil is rocky, and the heat of life causes it to wither. Some hear double-mindedly. There's good seeds there, and it's growing, but so are the weeds. And those weeds choke out the life of the good soil and good seeds. And so in each of our lives, we probably have had seasons where, man, I'm hearing carelessly or heedlessly or double-mindedly. So how do I hear? Let me offer a few things, suggest to you. How can I hear better? Hear actively. Give the word as you read the scripture and as you hear the preached word. Give it your best and full attention, which I know is not easy to do. The Puritan preachers of the 1600s and early 1700s, their sermons were 2, 3, and 4 hours long. We can barely hack 30 minutes. How would you like the job of speaking for God? Well, I can say this from experience. Most of us preachers are average. But add to the fact of our averageness and folks putting up barriers and daring us to knock it down, I guarantee you'll walk away disappointed. But if you listen carefully, you will gain something. 1 Corinthians 1:21 says, "For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe." And I like how the King James translates that little phrase, the foolishness of preaching. If you listen actively, it will save your soul and maybe your life. And I'm thinking of Paul's sermon that went through the whole night, and the guy sitting in the windowsill fell asleep and fell out the window to his death. So listen actively. It can save your life. Hear with humility is a second bit of advice. Hear with humility. Our pride can make hearing impossible. And I've heard these statements over the years. Yeah, I've heard this all before. I'm not getting fed. I get nothing out of church. Rather, I would say, be teachable. Be childlike. And if you're listening, God will speak to you. Third thing, hear with sympathy. Hostility and indifference definitely blocks you hearing from God. Sympathy literally means to suffer along with someone. And I know as listeners, you have to do that on many Sundays. But if you're open to the concerns of the preacher in the pulpit or on the TV screen, on the podcast, then I know that God will speak to you through it. Here's a fourth thing. Hear in obedience. Hear in obedience. That's the purpose, ultimately, of listening, of hearing, is obedience. Do you know the Hebrew word for hear is shema? And it also means obey. That those two concepts were so tied together in one Hebrew word. If you hear, you're going to obey. I mean, it's automatically assumed. Jesus in Matthew 7:24 Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And James, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. Why should I hear? Luke 8:18. Therefore, consider carefully how you listen. Whoever has will be given more, and whoever does not have, even what he thinks he has, will be taken from him. At first glance, this seems unfair, but it's a common principle. The rich get richer, the poor get poorer, and it's true spiritually too. The more you know, the easier it is to add to your knowledge. Take football, for instance. If you know a lot about football, and the commentator of the game is diagnosing the play, giving you strategies, doing the X's and O's, that kind of conversation, because you know a lot about football already, that adds to your insight and adds real perspective and value to that game. But if you know absolutely zip about football, then you know hearing that kind of conversation makes it worse. Now you're completely lost. The negative is also true. You can't stay the same spiritually. You're either growing spiritually or you're going in the reverse. You don't stay neutral. Use it or lose it. That's how it is in life and spiritually. For me, it was taking guitar lessons when I was 13 years old. I stuck with it for 3 weeks. I complained because it hurt my fingers. And because it hurt my fingers and I quit, now I know absolutely nothing about music. I can barely tap my foot to the beat. The only guitar I play well now is an air guitar. And I do play a mean air guitar, if I say so myself. On a more serious note, take Charles Darwin. He wrote this about his mental and spiritual demise. And this is just a part, a sample of what he said here. My mind seems to have become a kind of machine, grinding out general laws. I have tried lately to read Shakespeare, but found it so dull it nauseated me. I have lost my taste for pictures and music, too. Said, Charles Darwin began his academic career studying for the ministry, but somewhere along the line he stopped. He rejected the word, he rejected God, he rejected faith and truth. What he had was taken away. Contrast Darwin with the official of the Ethiopian government who was on his way home from a pilgrimage he had taken to Jerusalem. He had ears to hear, which is in itself a miracle, that this Ethiopian man would want to know about the true and living God. He knew what to hear. He was reading the Isaiah scroll, but he was baffled by it. He didn't know how to hear. And so Philip, sovereignly sent by God, ran alongside his chariot and said, do you understand what you're listening to? And he said, how can I? It's too mysterious for me. And he invited Philip up into his chariot, and Philip explained the word of God to him and preached Christ to him. The Ethiopian man hears clearly. He acts on what he hears. It says in the text, he believed and was baptized. And so there's an example of a preacher who didn't fail because his audience could hear and knew what to hear and knew how to hear. And they both went away rejoicing. So let me ask you this morning, how's your hearing? Are you in the Word of God daily? Because that's where God can most speak to you. Ask the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, help me to hear what you're saying to me today as I read your word. And on Sundays, come prepared and expectant to hear God speak through myself, Pastor Charles. And pray for me. Pray for us that we might speak clearly as we ought to. And of course, apply the word to your life. 1 Thessalonians 2:13 says, "And we also thank God continually because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is at work in you who believe." Lord, I am so thankful for your word that you have given to us, that you can speak to us through it. So much wisdom there, and so many rhema words there to jump off the page and lead us and guide us into all truth. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who dwells in those who believe. And help us, Lord, to hear, to have a hearing heart, to listen to what you're saying and then to do it. In Jesus' name, amen.